Welcome to Journal Club for March 2nd, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. In today's paper, the authors walk us through an effort to build systems that can right-size medications for children. This is the first episode from our newest co-host, Christy Clayton. Christy is a passionate clinical pharmacist with a special interest in research, pharmacovigilance, infectious diseases, and pediatrics. At Journal Club, she'll be covering articles like this one on medicine and health science. Without further ado, off-the-shelf medication transformed. Custom-dosed metoprolol tartrate tablets via semi-solid extrusion additive manufacturing and the perception of this technique in a hospital context.
Every parent's worst nightmare. Your child has just been diagnosed with a rare condition, and you're finally home from the hospital. Time to give them their medication. The pharmacy only had adult tablets, so you'll need to break them in half. The two halves are not equal, and you notice some collateral damage on the kitchen table. Given the option between underdose and overdose, you choose option 3. Make some coffee. As you stand in front of the machine, dialing in the amount of caffeine the situation calls for, you think to yourself, why isn't there a machine that can dial in the right amount of medication for my child? Well, maybe there is. In today's paper, the authors are assessing the feasibility of using 3D printers to modify adult tablets into smaller, patient-specific doses. If they're successful, they'll have proved that it's possible to downsize a tablet to a precise dose. On today's episode, we're going to look at the problem they're trying to solve, the methods they used to create these new tablets, and the quality of the medication they created. Children are a neglected population in pharmacy manufacturing. It is not financially viable to create formulations for them. As it stands, the pediatric population accounts for 15 to 20% of drug sales. But most of these sales are related to common infections and conditions for which plenty of syrups and suspensions exist. For rare conditions, appropriate formulations are generally not available. This results in medications that are inaccurately dosed, difficult to administer, and prone to errors. So, what happens when a doctor writes up a prescription for a dose that the manufacturer doesn't produce? Best case scenario, there's an adult tablet with a score line that can easily be broken in half. And you have enough wiggle room in the dosing recommendation that half a tablet will do the trick. This has the advantage of keeping the medication in a stable, well-studied formulation and maintaining the drug release profile. That being said, if the break doesn't go your way, you can still end up with an unequal dose. Unfortunately, few tablets are scored this way, and your other options are less ideal. Crushing a tablet will turn it into a powder, but you'll lose some of it, and then you won't get the proper dose. Dissolving a tablet won't work either. Some tablets take a long time to dissolve or can be coated in a protective layer. If they do dissolve successfully, the medication can degrade quickly or easily become contaminated with bacteria. Opening a capsule presents a bigger risk. You could lose some of the medication inside when the two halves fall apart. You might think that your pharmacist would have more sophisticated options, that they'd be able to resize the medication for you before ever handing you the bag. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. The pharmacist would be able to crush, dissolve, or open the capsule on your behalf, but none of these options would yield the desired result. Getting a tablet to be a fine enough powder to get the ingredients properly separated without lumps is difficult to do even with the right equipment. Pharmacists would know how to dissolve a tablet effectively and have access to cleaner medical-grade water and syrup to dissolve it in. But the medication will still be stable for a shorter time than normal syrups. Opening a capsule gets easier with practice, but a small amount would always be lost, and the powder inside would still need to be dissolved in the same way a tablet would. Another important factor with all these methods, whether it happens in your kitchen or the hospital pharmacy, is that taking the medication out of tablet form means that when your child swallows it, the medication can be absorbed immediately. It isn't still trapped inside a tablet that would normally release it slowly over time. This is a good characteristic for pain medication, but if the pharmaceutical manufacturer made a tablet that purposefully dissolves slowly to release the medication, then crushing it undoes that work. Pharmacists can also only crush, dissolve, or open a medication that has been studied in a lab. They need to know what to mix it with and how it will behave after mixing in terms of its stability. If the information is not published, it would be too risky to give it to a patient, especially a child. Even if the pharmacist makes the perfect syrup, the not-so-patient patient will still be waiting around for at least an hour for the pharmacist to finish the mini manufacturing process. If you are lucky enough to live in Sweden, where the study was conducted, there are external compounding facilities, or ECFs. These facilities sell capsules filled with the right amount of active pharmaceutical ingredient, or API. The tablets are ground into a powder and mixed with additional powder such as bulking agents that we call excipients. They are then filled into capsules by a machine. This is a more reliable way of delivering a stable and accurate amount of the medication, but it is susceptible to the pitfalls of working with powders. Powders can behave differently depending on the size of their particles. Think of the difference between sand and confectioner's sugar. Soft, fluffy powders have a much smaller particle size. They would get stuck inside the machine and wouldn't all make it into the capsule. Powders can also demix themselves, meaning that some capsules will have more or less of the API. In this paper, the authors are proposing a new strategy for downsizing tablets, one that they argue is better than crushing, more stable than dissolving, and more accurate than opening capsules. Their solution starts with a larger tablet, which gets crushed and mixed into a semi-solid gel and loaded into a 3D printer. This method is called semi-solid extrusion, or SSE. To get to the point of printing, the authors had to decide what and how much would go into their formulation. This was done by trial and error and playing with different percentages of the ingredients. They then had to determine what volume of the formulation they would need to use. Finally, they had to decide on the dimensions of the tablet, design it on the appropriate software, and upload the STL file into the 3D printer. They chose the traditional cylinder shape for their tablets. Next, it was time to print them. This generally happens in a lab, but these authors were looking to prove that the whole process could take place in a hospital. Here's how they did it. Step 1. Tablets were taken from stock within the hospital and crushed with a pestle and mortar. Step 2. Millecure water was added to dissolve the API. Millecure water is the purest medical grade water. Step 3. Polyvinyl acetate, polyvinyl pyrrolidone copolymer was then added and mixed. Step 4. Lastly, hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose hypermellulose was added and mixed, which completes the semi-solid formulation. Step 5. The formulation was transferred to the syringes, which fit into the 3D printer. Step 6. Pressure was applied to the syringes to extrude the mixture layer by layer to print the tablets. Step 7. The tablets were then placed in a heated vacuum so that they could dry. As an example API, they used metoprolol tartrate. This is a good API to use because it is frequently modified for use in pediatric patients. The aim was to print tablets that contained 5 mg. They ended up with 3 types of medications. Batches of SSE tablets that they printed themselves, a batch of SSE tablets that was printed by a licensed hospital pharmacist, a batch of capsules ordered from an ECF. A series of tests were done to assess the quality of the tablets and to validate the printing process. Size and weight, solid state analysis, drug content, release profile, and microbial assay. First, size and weight were measured using a digital caliper and an analytical balance. Both the tablets and capsules showed good batch uniformity. The SSE tablets met the European pharmacopoeia requirements, since all of the tablets were within 10% of the average mass. The tablets printed by the hospital pharmacist were also found to be statistically similar to the tablets printed by the authors. While the SSE tablets did not exactly match the digital model dimensions, they were pretty close. That being said, the tablet shape did deform during the drying process, meaning the formulation needed to be a bit thicker. The next phase was solid-state analysis, the process of determining how the ingredients in the SSE tablets behave in solid form. For this, they used differential scanning calorimetry to see if the modifications had any impact on the molecular behavior of the API when exposed to heat. The surface of the SSE tablet was observed using a scanning electron microscope, and the results showed nothing concerning. They used ultraviolet visible, or UV-Vis, spectroscopy to determine the drug content. An SSE tablet is dissolved and filtered. UV light is then shone through the liquid to see how much light is absorbed. The amount of absorption has a linear relationship with the amount of API in the sample. Set concentrations of a pure sample of the API are analyzed to draw up a linear calibration curve. That way, when an unknown concentration of API is analyzed, the absorption reading can be converted into a concentration by reading the corresponding value on the calibration curve. UV-Vis is also used to determine the API release profile over time. Basically, a really big test tube is filled with liquid. You drop the tablet or capsule into it, and it gets stirred constantly to make sure any API released doesn't sit at the bottom. You then take samples at set time intervals and analyze them using UV-Vis to determine the amount of API released. Microbial assays were also performed on the SSE tablets according to the European Pharmacopoeia standards to see if the tablets had an unacceptable amount of bacteria in them. So, what were the results? How did the researchers' new SSE 3D printing method compare with the ECF capsule filling process? In my opinion, the SSE tablets were a clear winner. Aside from the fact that the tablets deformed in the drying process, they were consistent in size and mass. They were not contaminated beyond the pharmaceutical standard and had a release profile closer to the original adult tablet. The capsule performed well, but one of the capsules had more than double the API inside. Whether we see SSE making it into the hospitals might end up hinging on the financial feasibility rather than how the tablets performed. Open the PDF attached if you get as excited as I do about numbers, graphs, and calibration curves. You can also see a picture of the tablets that were 3D printed and read more about what the pharmacy personnel had to say about SSE. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Clayton.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Journal Club. Today's episode was written and performed by Christy Clayton, with writing support from Brett Beckman. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.